Michigan legislators have returned to Lansing after a three-month summer break. We'll be talking to several lawmakers this hour and again on Thursday to learn more about what lies ahead in this fall session of an election year. We welcome two reporters who've covered the state capitol for approaching 40 years. Between them, Kathleen Gray reports for the Detroit Free Press. Kathy, great to see you.
Hi, Mark.
And Rick Pluta is the Capitol Bureau Chief for the esteemed Michigan Public Radio Network. Rick, thank you for being here.
Glad to be here. I'm glad to be esteemed.
We understand that the Senate was busy here today passing a package of four bills involving self-driving cars. Kathy, you were there. What got passed?
The four bills will allow for testing of autonomous vehicles, which are basically driverless vehicles, on 122 miles of road in the state. It also opens the way to open the American Center for Mobility at the site of the old Willow Run Airport that will be a research and testing facility for autonomous vehicles. Michigan wants to be at the leading edge of this. They're the car capital of the world, and these bills are moving very fast.
Consensus in the legislature about this, Rick, or could these get hung up for some reason?
I mean, it's always possible that you could run into a speed bump somewhere, but you know, there is wide consensus, not just that this is important, but that it needs to be done quickly because Michigan is competing with tech centers in Silicon Valley, North Carolina, for exactly this kind of research and development. And this is really, you know, they've kind of got the research down. Now it's about the development. You know, Mark, we live in a car town, and you know, we have a couple of auto plants, you know, right here near us. And it's not unusual in Lansing to see some of the models out on the road before they hit the showrooms.
Right.
And so this would kind of do the same thing for these areas that Kathy was just talking about, that this is, you know, real life road testing of autonomous vehicles. They just have to get past, you know, among other things, the safety concerns that they get out there, that you know, this is going to be a reliable vehicle.
Well, even self-driving cars are apt to hit a speed bump, mm-hmm. I guess is the bottom line there. Well, before we get any further into the fall agenda, the foremost topic today may be the beginning of confirmation hearings involving Heidi Grether, the Snyder administration's...
End.
I'm sorry?
The beginning and the
end. The beginning and the end. Well, that says an awful lot about what I was expecting to try to find out from you two. That selection has raised a lot of eyebrows, of course, because of her past affiliation with BP, the liberal group Progress Michigan, and the group Flint Rising has been here protesting the appointment earlier. What kind of confirmation, you've already answered my question, I guess, I'll get Kathy's views on this. What kind of confirmation process do you anticipate?
Well, I think it'll be, she'll get confirmed easily, but I think it will be with some hard questions because there's some serious issues facing the Department of Environmental Quality right now. You've got the Enbridge line and up in the Straits of Mackinac that is a big concern, and with her ties to the oil industry, I'm sure that people are going to be concerned about that. There's also the Flint water crisis that the Department of Environmental Quality had some real serious problems with, and so that's going to be an issue that she's going to have to deal with.
Rick, Rick, do you think some of this more aggressive questioning may come from some Republicans, or is this going to be a real party line dynamic here?
It's going to be a one-hour hearing, and after that there won't even be a motion to approve or disapprove it, because in Michigan, unlike in Washington, that gubernatorial appointments take effect absent some action by the legislature rejecting them. So if they do nothing, it goes into effect, and that's what it looks like is going to happen. Democrats will have questions about Enbridge, about some environmental cleanups. I understand that Rebecca Warren, I said Democrats, it's a Democrat. There's only one Democrat on this committee.
On the Senate Natural Resources.
Rebecca Warren of Ann Arbor, and she's going to have some questions about some local cleanups, about timelines, not just what needs to get done, but when will it get done, especially when will we be able to guarantee the people of Flint that they have clean drinking water. But we should also point out that the DEQ is actually not in charge of the Flint response at this moment, that remains with Keith Cray, who is the once again
DNR.
Department of Natural Resources director, but who took over as interim director to try and sort of pick up the state's response to that, start restoring some faith in the department, and now it's up to Heidi Grether to sort of carry that ball the rest of the way. Restore faith, improve morale in a department that's been badly battered, and, you know, move ahead on some other things.
Rick Pluta of the Michigan Public Radio Network, Kathleen Gray for the Detroit Free Press. We're looking ahead at the fall session here at the Michigan Legislature on the second day of activity back at the Capitol after a long summer break. This fall, Michigan voters will decide an awful lot of new members coming into the House. It's in the 40 range, guaranteed, I think, minimum new members. What's the mood in the House right now regarding this turnover?
I would say that, and I wouldn't just say in the State House of Representatives, but just in politics in general, that Republicans are feeling doomed and Democrats are feeling paranoid. That Republicans are looking at the top of the ticket.
That's not a pretty picture. Doomed or paranoid, choose your poison.
I know. That we can make a killing investing in sedatives right now. that they're looking at the top of the ticket, the problems that Donald Trump seems to be having in Michigan, wondering not just if that's going to be enough to tip the State House of Representatives from the Republicans to the Democrats, but could it cost them a congressional seat or two, even? So, Kathy?
Well, the House Democrats need nine seats in order to get the majority, and that's kind of a tough hill to climb. It's a possibility. I don't know if it's a probability, but
it's not a probability, but it's happened before.
Right.
And
right.
If you have a big wave election, and that's what they're really afraid of. And remember, we've got the continued unpopularity of Governor Rick Snyder, who he's a Republican, and so there's that playing into this as well. On the Democratic side, like Kathy said, that they're seeing a path to finally having a seat at the table in Lansing, but it's a narrow path and a steep climb, and they're kind of going, and we're Democrats. There's still the possibility we can mess this up.
So there's the continuing dilemma on, do we stay in Lansing and push some things through, or do we maybe cancel some sessions so we can get our members back on the campaign trail? So I'm not convinced that we're going to be meeting the entire time that they're supposed to be in session. But that's still kind of up in the air.
Sure. There's a policy aspect to this session, but the politics of it was certainly that the Republican leadership didn't want to be accused of not showing up for work. And so this is a chance to kind of put the kibosh on that.
Well, Kathy, what have you heard from Republican? Let's start with the Republican majority here. What have you heard from maybe either the quadrant leaders or any other leadership official here regarding legislative priorities this fall?
Well, energy policy is a big urgent thing that they want to get done. I don't think it's going to get done,
no,
though, because there's just too much discord on how to reform or rewrite energy policy in the state.
It's not just a fight between Republicans and Democrats. Republicans are not in agreement on how to move ahead with this. I think they're just trying to tee this up for the...
And remind our listeners what they're in disagreement about.
Do we have enough time?
it's a time issue.
They are in disagreement on energy choice, allowing competitors to take customers from utilities, guaranteeing utilities a certain customer base and predictability and how much power they'll have to produce, what should be done as far as energy efficiency. And then there are also groups that are saying that the state is going too far in relaxing standards for creating electricity from renewable resources.
Kathy, I know with regard to criminal justice reform here, which has already been dealt with for many months, really, without a whole lot of resolution, there's ongoing discussion of not delaying the release of inmates who have served their minimum sentences. This is one of the issues at the heart of criminal justice reform.
That's a hard one. It's called presumptive parole, it's passed the House with a wide bipartisan majority, but it's kind of stalled in the Senate, and it would allow, like you said, inmates to be released after they've served their minimum sentence. But Law and Order really does not like this. Attorney General Bill Schuette has talked very, very, very much in opposition to this. So I'm not sure if it's going to, I don't think it's going to get out.
Yeah, like Kathy said, it's not just a fight between Republicans and Democrats. This is a fight among Republicans, and it's pitted Republicans against Bill Schuette.
Rick, you emailed all of us earlier this morning alerting us that there is a group of local governments apparently planning to sue the state for
They've
more.
done it. They
revenue. Tell us about this.
They filed this morning in the Wednesday morning in the Michigan Court of Appeals, and $4 billion is the magic number. They say that's how much the state has been shortchanging local governments in revenue sharing payments under the Headley Amendment. They say that basically the state has been using a shell game, and not just recently, but for the past 20 years, to apply payments to local school districts, payment to charter schools, payments for main trunk lines to the revenue sharing cap, and basically they've been cooking the numbers to shortchange local governments. And if they win, then that means that, and it's, you know, the decision is retroactive, that means that there's going to be some serious scrambling to do some budget rewriting next year.
Kathleen, give us your take on the straight ticket voting thing. This legislature that just sat down again here yesterday, and Governor Snyder signed into law a bill banning straight ticket voting here in Michigan. I think we became the 40th or the 41st state to do so, but it's been overturned in the courts, only to be taken up by Attorney General Bill Schuette, who wants the U.S. Supreme Court issue, or a Supreme Court, to decide the issue now. What's the broader sentiment in the legislature about straight ticket voting? Is this a party line thing, or is it more complicated?
Absolutely, it's party line. It passed with a Republican majority, not a single Democratic vote in the House or the Senate. Straight ticket voting has been going on for 50 years.
Oh, no, 125 years.
Oh, well, gosh. They have tried to repeal it twice already, or ban straight ticket voting twice, and the voters have twice said, no, we want straight ticket voting. Well, the legislature went ahead and passed it. There's a sentiment that this
benefits...
They made
it referendum-proof, too, right. So that's not going to happen again.
Right. There's a sentiment that this benefits Democrats more than Republicans.
We got time for maybe one other issue that may come up this fall. What might come up that we haven't talked about?
You know, a lot of that will depend on whether or not Republicans retain control. That, you know, they'll be looking at this energy policy. They might make some feint towards, reforming the Freedom of Information Act. But if there is a switch from Republican to Democratic control in the State House, then it's Katie barred the door. Who knows what could come up?
Well, no fault, auto insurance and reform is always in the mix. But we just haven't had to allow that to pass. A big opponent of that is Oakland County Executive L. Brooks Patterson, and he's got his Oakland County delegation pretty well opposed to any to the reforms that are being talked about.
Well, we've set the table really nicely with a couple of really qualified people to talk about the upcoming fall session here at the Michigan Legislature. We want to thank Kathleen Gray of the Detroit Free Press and Rick Pluta, Capital Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network. Thank you.
Thanks,
Pleasure, Mark.
Mark.